Following Boris Johnson's entry into office just last month, hard to miss it, massive news, the British Prime Minister has actually announced this week that the United Kingdom will end freedom of movement rules as soon as it leaves the European Union on October the 31st. If it actually does go through, it feels like it keeps getting pushed back all the time. So the freedom of movement regulations currently in place allow citizens of EU countries to live and work without restrictions in any of the other member states. So according to Mr. Johnson, the UK will introduce a new, fairer immigration system that prioritises skills over country of origin. So joining us to discuss the implications of this very major policy change is Professor Simon Tormey, a Professor of Political and Social Sciences at the University of Sydney. Simon, good morning.
Good morning.
So Simon, can these changes be considered a more fair immigration policy and less on entitlements?
Well, I think the thrust of these things is consonant with the desire for the people who support Brexit to regain national sovereignty over their borders, and basically to make the point that just because Europeans have had a right of access and right to stay and right to work in Britain, that won't apply once Britain leaves on the 31st of October. So it's a bit of a kind of a wake-up call, however, for the 3 million European citizens who live in the UK. I mean, I myself am Irish rather than British, and my wife is French, and we're moving back soon, and I'm already thinking, well, what am I going to have to do to ensure that my wife can get off the plane without a visa and all the rest of it? So it is a kind of, you know, it's logical, it's consistent, but it really does bring home in very real terms what the ramifications of Brexit are as far as those of us who are European are concerned.
Mm. Well, it is such a dramatic change. And what's it going to mean for the people who are already living and working in the UK under the current scheme?
Well, there is a kind of right to stay policy. It's just that only about 1 million people from the EU have taken advantage of applying for that. And there's a further 2 million European citizens who've basically been either hoping that Brexit would roll over and wouldn't happen at all, or that the permanent transition that we seem to be in at the moment just carries on. So I think this is, as I said, a bit of a wake-up call for the 2 million who haven't applied to stay on a permanent basis in the UK. There's no indication that there'll be a problem for those people who do want to stay to get that through. But of course, if 2 million people all of a sudden decide that they're going to apply, then that will produce a deluge of paperwork for an already overworked Home Office. So it's going to be, I think, slight panic stations as far as many households are concerned.
Mm. As you said, very overworked Home Office. Things, and they're expected to leave the EU in just 2 months, roughly. Will adequate laws be drafted and legislated in such a short period of time?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think what we are beginning to realise, all those people who are kind of not already sceptics, is that Britain is really not very well prepared for Brexit at all. They haven't really taken the necessary measures in order to make sure that we don't have immediate tailbacks in border areas such as Dover, and the airports are fully staffed with people. They've got the machinery and the and all the rest of it. So I do think that, you know, even those people who are in favour of Brexit now recognise that October 31 will be a very difficult period for Britain and for continental Europe, because really, you know, all this kicking the can down the road for the last sort of 6 months or so has meant that people have kind of, you know, sort of put off doing anything really very concrete about putting measures in place that are going to facilitate this UK leaving the European Union. So I think we're in for a very bumpy ride.
Mm. Well, immigration, it's not a one-way street. Can we expect to see more restrictions placed on UK citizens seeking to work or live in other EU nations as a result of these changes?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't heard much from the European Union on this, largely because the European Union, like the British Parliament, is in recess at the moment. It's Northern Hemisphere summertime, end of August, and everyone's putting their feet up on Italian beaches and all the rest of it. So we haven't had a response yet from the EU, but you'd imagine that they're just going to go measure for measure with with British plans, and that, of course, British citizens, therefore, will have to apply for visas, and they'll have to go through the whole rigmarole in order to work in Paris or Italy or Spain or whatever. And why not? This is the logic of Britain becoming what's called a third country as far as the EU is concerned, and they'll no doubt apply the rules rigorously to the Brits, as they do to Americans, as they do to Australians and all the rest of it. So That's a bit of a loss. That's why young people in particular are very much affected by Brexit and why they voted over 70% to stay in the EU, because young British people have gotten used to that idea of being able to work in Germany or Italy or France, and now they're not going to find it as easy as they once were able to do in the future.
Well, bringing it back to Australia, with the change in immigration laws, do you think it might be easier for an Australian to get a UK visa?
Well, we'll see how that pans out. I mean, I think there are, obviously the Australians are following closely, and one of the prices that they're likely to extract for a free trade agreement with the UK is easier movement of access for Australian citizens who want to live and work in the UK. So I think the situation in the UK is that, of course, they're looking for friends out there. They look at Australia, New Zealand, Canada in particular, to basically back you know, whatever it is that Brexit turns out to be. And one of the prices of that, I suspect, will be a heavy one as far as the UK is concerned, is they're going to have to relax some of those quite onerous visa regulations for Australians and New Zealanders, for Kiwis. So I think, you know, probably people in this part of the world are going to be winners out of this, but may find that actually their situation improves if they want to go and work and live in the UK.
I mean, who hasn't had the dream of moving over to London and working there for a year or two? I know if you're currently under 30 years, you can get the 2-year working visa. But obviously, people over 30 as well might want to move over there as well.
I was just going to say, it's been very tough. I mean, if you look at the price of a heritage visa, for example, which I did recently because one of my kids wanted to go and work in the UK, I mean, something like $900 to get a 5-year heritage visa. And I think all those prices and all those obstacles are going to come under a lot of strain as Australia is able to, in a sense, use this moment to say, well, if you want a free trade deal with us, then you're going to have to make it a much more favourable regime for our citizens to come and live and work.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see what kind of outcomes we'll get out of any free trade regime. Well, Simon, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome.
That was Professor Simon Tormey from the University of Sydney discussing with us the expected impact of Britain's plan to end freedom of movement rules.